From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. 1 week after a massive power failure left 50 million people in the dark, we asked some Midwesterners whether they've gained new appreciation for the amenities of life.
My name is Deborah Lowry. I live in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm a pricing agent for a major corporation. Well, it's a valuable commodity, so I will try to be more careful and more conscious of how I utilize electricity in the future. I can never understand how the grids connected so many states and were reliant upon one alarm system that failed, and why isn't that alarm system working, and you know, where are the red flags that are supposed to go up?
My name's Pete Willis. I'm from Royal Oak here. Basically, immediately after the blackout, when our area was back up with electricity and we were still asked to hold off with turning on air conditioning and extra luxury appliances, nobody did. Everybody kept using it. My neighbors still had their air conditioning running all the time. They're watering the lawns when they're asked not to water, things like that. So,
Daryl Brown. Right now I'm working in a dietary and nursing home. I think sometimes that we take for granted that we're always going to have electricity and the power. No matter how much we use, that we're always going to have abundance of it. We probably say it will never happen again, so we probably go back to the same lifestyle.
The voices of people in East Lansing, Michigan, and Chicago, Illinois. An official investigation into the blackout got underway this past week. Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham, who is heading the probe with his counterpart from Canada, declined to speculate on whether any grid operators or utilities might be to blame. As NPR's David Kestenbaum reports, if this blackout turns out to be like the ones before it, its cause will be a sequence of events no one had foreseen.
Engineers spend a lot of time trying to make sure what happened last week doesn't. Ross Baldick is a professor of engineering at the University of Texas at Austin and teaches a kind of electric power for dummies class. He says one reason there hasn't been a big outage on the East Coast since 1965 is that engineers try to make sure that at any moment the grid can withstand a single catastrophe anywhere. In engineering parlance, they try to keep the system, quote, secure. So say, for example, he says, you have a city connected to a power plant by three transmission lines.
And let's suppose, just for the sake of example, that lightning struck and tripped out one of the lines. This is something that occasionally happens. The laws of physics mean that the flow that was on the line that just got tripped out is now going to be shared on the two remaining lines. And by operating securely, power engineers mean that the flows that are now on these two remaining lines are within their capacities.
And the lights stay on. Now, in a big system, things get more complicated. The grid changes every day. Some transmission lines are taken offline for service. On hot days, the demand for power can go up.
In an actual system, there's not just three lines joining point A and point B. In the eastern interconnection, there's somewhere around tens of thousands of transmission lines. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of generators and thousands, tens of thousands of distribution substations, points of demand.
Grid operators and utilities use sophisticated computer models to make sure the system can stay up if any of those components go down. If this were a game of chess, the computers would be looking one move in advance. But problems often arise when there are multiple failures. Using a computer to try to anticipate what would happen then would take exponentially more time, like trying to look three or four moves ahead on a chessboard, a giant chessboard with tens of thousands of pieces. So in general, while engineers have a good idea what will happen if one component goes out, it's harder to know what happens when you lose two. And last week, there were multiple failures. According to the North American Electric Reliability Council, between 2:06 and 3:10 p.m., eight power lines tripped in Ohio. After that, the collapse began.
My thinking, and it is definitely speculation, is that there were several outages of transmission lines. And despite their best efforts, the system was not secure for some time, perhaps only a few minutes, and perhaps just by bad luck, one more transmission line tripped out in an inopportune place, overloads further remaining lines, and suddenly trips out a large part of the interconnection.
But what caused those lines to go out in the first place? The company that owns some of the lines that tripped has said one or two sagged too close to trees, but it also reports that before any of this happened, there were unusual wiggles in voltage on the grid. That could mean that the rotors in power plants used to generate electricity were slightly out of sync. Prabhakunder, president of PowerTech Labs in British Columbia, says sometimes that can lead to major outages.
The rotors, you know, instead of running at constant speed, start swinging. Okay, and they swing with respect to each other, which causes power flows to oscillate between generators. If they continuously oscillate, you see, you know, lights flickering. But if the oscillations are actually building up, the protective systems start tripping out, which will in turn lead to, sort of a collapse of the system.
That's what happened on August 10th in 1996. A power line in Idaho got too close to a tree and tripped off. Another two followed. As the grid readjusted, the voltages wiggled a little. And just as a bell has one note it likes to sound, the system had a frequency it would nurture. The wiggle was at that frequency. Voltages swung wildly, and 7.5 million people lost power. To understand exactly what unfolded last week, Kunder says investigators will have to set up a computer model of the eastern grid, then tell it to make transmission lines fail or introduce a wiggle on a line, and see if they can recreate what happened. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.